Good morning. It's my joy and privilege to minister the word to this congregation this morning and to draw near to God with you as we listen to the scriptures opened up for us. If you'll take your Bible or look at what you have in your bulletin, we're going to read a pretty long passage of scripture all about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no way that in a sermon I can cover everything that's in this passage, but I will hit some highlights and bring some application to your life as you think about the greatness of Christ's death for His people. And if you're a Christian, His death for you. Hear God's word, Luke 23:26 and following. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and they laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breast that never nursed.' Then they will begin to cry to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with Jesus. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the reading of the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades away, but the Word of our God shall endure forever. Let us pray. Father, we now come and we ask you to open up our eyes to behold wonderful things from this portion of your Word. We pray that we would not leave here this morning without running to Jesus Christ, our only help in life and in death. Come, O Lord, and work a work in our hearts this morning. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. My favorite gospel writer is Luke. Not that I don't like Matthew and Mark and John, but I especially like Luke. He tells some stories, and he makes some statements about Jesus that none of the other gospel writers mention. And that's okay. All the gospels were laid out to help us in various different areas. But only Luke reports the following. In verses 27 through 31, he tells us about the women who were mourning and crying as Jesus made his way to Calvary. In verse 34a, he tells about the words that Jesus spoke from the cross. Only he reports that Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." In verses 39 through 40, Jesus' conversation back and forth with these two criminals, Luke reports it in its fullness. And there's another individual that he mentions in our text that I'm going to explore just a little deeper first. This man who is called Simon of Cyrene. So let's look at these events. Let's think about them. Let's worship God as we consider what they mean to our life this morning. But in the first place, we meet a man who helped Jesus carry his cross. And his name is Simon of Cyrene, verse 26. And they led him away and seized one Simon of Cyrene who was coming in from the country and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. Now, you naturally got to ask a question. Why is this guy mentioned? And if you go to the Gospel of Mark, you find a very tremendous answer. And I want to just briefly read you this. You do not need to turn to this, but in Mark's gospel, he gives us some more data. He tells us some more about this person, Simon of Cyrene. And basically what he tells us, just let me give it to you. He tells us more. He said, this Simon of Cyrene was the father of two children that he mentions in his gospel account. Spells out their names. Now, why does he do that? I believe that what we're learning from this is that Jesus, our Savior, mentions as he comes to the cross to Simon of Cyrene, the father of these people. He talks to him. He was compelled. He became a believer. His children after him, Alexander and Rufus, were converted. And this gospel spread later on in human history. This family was very, very important. Carrying the cross piece. Evidently sticking around, watching Jesus die, going back to the Middle East, telling his kids about Jesus. That's Simon of Cyrene. And all of us who are parents here this morning just simply need to listen to this. Take note of it. And by way of application, you know, the best thing that you can do for your children is tell them about Jesus Christ and lead them to Him. Coming to Jesus Christ is more important than sports. Coming to Jesus Christ is more important than dating and who you'll date. It's more important than college. It's more important than clothing and all the other plans that you may have for your family members. Simon of Cyrene was a man, after seeing Christ and standing by Him and carrying His cross, who took the gospel to his own family. And his children's name, they're recorded in the Bible, that they became followers of Jesus Christ. That should be your desire for your children more than anything in the world. Secondly, in the passage we meet some mourning and lamenting women. We move from children to some women that are mentioned in our text. After the bodyguards commanded Simon of Cyrene to carry the cross piece behind Jesus, Jesus apparently regained his strength. And he spoke to these women in verses 28b through 31. Note what he said. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. These women now were probably not disciples. They were people that got on the streets and grieved. I don't know if they were converted or not. But basically, they were expressing sympathy for Jesus at least. They felt sorry for him. And they're lamenting. They're crying. They're weeping. Well, it turns out that Jesus felt more sorry for them than they felt for him. So he issues a prophecy. He speaks to these women using some shocking words. He addresses them as daughters of Jerusalem. And then he lowers the boom on them by these words. Do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Jesus didn't need their sympathy. They needed His sympathy. He is doing exactly in our passage what He came to this earth to do. To live and die for His people. It's the people of Jerusalem who need to be pitied. Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and your children. And I believe there's something going on here that we need to understand. Person to be pitied is not the Savior who died for sinners, but the sinners who die in their own sins and therefore fall under the judgment of God. Let me repeat that. The person to be pitied is not the Savior who died for sinners, but the sinners who die in their own sins and therefore fall under the judgment of God. Now, what is Jesus predicting here? Well, nobody that I've read out there is 100% sure what he's referring to. I'm going to give it a stab, but don't be guaranteed that I'm answering this totally correct for you. But I think he's looking toward the future of what's going to happen to Jerusalem a number of years after Jesus' death when the Roman Empire and Republic comes and crushes the Jewish people, takes them away as slaves. I believe that that's the time he's looking forward to. He tells them, don't weep for yourselves. Don't weep for me. Weep for you and your people, your kids. I read an article by a great historian in the past by the name of Josephus, and it shocked me. I don't know of Josephus, how much he knew, but what he wrote, I'll read to you. He said, people were desperately in need of food in Israel. So they attacked their neighbors and stole food from them. They ate all kinds of gross animals. And one desperate woman killed her infant son and ate part of him. And the neighbors came and took the other half and ate. That's how desperate it would get. Oh, it's gross. It makes me sick to my stomach. But why does Jesus drop this bomb upon them? Well, he's doing it to awaken them while there's still time and lead them to repentance. He wanted them to shed tears not of emotion but of contrition and sorrow. This morning, Jesus doesn't want you to cry tears about these soldiers and about his crucifixion. What Jesus wants the most from all of us who are reading is that we repent. And we believe in the one who can give to us everlasting life. Don't weep over the crucifixion, but weep over your transgression. My friends, I can't appeal to you anymore that what happened in Jerusalem at 70 AD when those people got in those dire positions is nothing compared to what is going to happen when Jesus Christ returns again and this world is judged. And I want to say to you all, young and old, all of us here, your life on this earth is short. What are 70, 80, 90 years compared to eternity? Nothing. And so the most important thing in your life, the most important thing you will ever do, the most important thing that could ever happen to you, is to be reborn of God's Spirit and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to where you have an anchor for all eternity. He mentions in this passage about green wood and dry wood. I'm not 100% sure what he means, but I think he says, if the Romans practice such cruel things on me who am but a green tree, what kind of judgment is he going to bring on people that are rotten wood that burn quickly? Dear friends, heed this prophecy. Weep for yourselves. Thirdly, we're introduced into some factors or facts before and during actually Jesus' crucifixion as he was dying. As I was telling you, I can't go through all of this. But Jesus finally arrived after conversations with these women and after these other things. He arrived at the place of his crucifixion, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. In the Greek, it's called the skull place. In the Latin, it's called Calvaria. Call it what you want. I don't think we know exactly where this place was. You can go over to Israel and people will tell you this is where it was. I don't think they're very sure. It had to be a place that was open enough to where people, as they walked by, could stop and watch what was happening. They made these crucifixions in public. They wanted people to see. If you mess with Rome, you're in trouble, buddy. So, Dr. Luke gives us some information, but it's amazing. He just says a few words. And there they crucified him. Victims in our passage were totally stripped of their clothing. You read on. The victims suffered terrible pain, Jesus included. The crowds who came by were allowed to make fun of their body parts because they didn't have anything on. It was humiliation and steroids. But Dr. Luke goes on and tells us some things about what Jesus said. And he doesn't report everything. You have to get all the gospel accounts together to get everything that was said from the cross. But here, Dr. Luke tells us in verse 34a, he tells us about a prayer that Jesus offered. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Now, who's the them and the they? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Here's what I believe. he is particularly mentioning the soldiers who are mocking him, offering him sour wine, dividing his clothes. They come right after the statement. He prays for those who are causing him pain. One scholar says, our gracious Savior prays for the soldiers who are, in all truthfulness, did not know what they were doing. He's praying for them would change some of them. Because we read later that some of these men, some of these soldiers, some of these leaders were converted and came to faith in Jesus Christ. You can read the story about the centurion. But my brothers and sisters, listen to what they said, some of them. There are three or four outbreaks that happen. The rulers cry out, he saved others. Let him save himself if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Well, there's a tad bit of irony there because Jesus did save others. And they make the statement. Many of the soldiers came by and mocked him, offering him sour wine and saying to him, if you're the king of the Jews, save yourself. Where did they get this idea? Where did this get this idea that the king of the Jews? Well, they got the idea because that was an official plate that was put above Jesus' cross that Pontius Pilate put there. He wrote on that plate, this is the king of the Jews. Now, this is very true. He meant it sarcastically, but it's true. He is the king of the Jews. But he's more than just the king of the Jews. You know when he entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey prior to the crucifixion? We're told this. When he entered Jerusalem on the donkey, the crowds rejoiced and praised God, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, teacher, rebuke your disciples. Jesus answered, I tell you, if they were silent, the very stones would cry out. There's irony. He is the king of the Jews. In the Gospel of Luke, there are several times when people instantly knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. In the blink of an eye, shepherds watching over their flocks by night are told of the birth of Jesus Christ, and they go. We go to the temple in the New Testament. There's this old man named Simon. He took the baby, Jesus, in his arms and said, my eyes have seen your salvation. There are many times that God intervenes in the life of people and makes changes quickly and surprisingly. And when you hear about the company that Jesus kept when he died on Calvary's cross, and you see that he was crucified between two hardened criminals, and when you see one of those criminals mocking him, and even the other one on both sides were mocking him at first, and then one of them stops. The other keeps mocking. He turns to Jesus. He said to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, today, this very day, you will be with me in paradise. Even on the cross, as he gave his life, he was winning victory. And he was changing the lives of people. And he's still doing it today. My brothers and sisters, as we draw near to a conclusion. There's a lot more I could say. And I think highlighting just a few of these things are important enough for us to grasp a couple of things before we leave here this morning and go home. I've already spoken to the children, but I'll speak to you again. The most important thing you can ever do in your life is come to Jesus Christ and trust Him and Him alone for your salvation. I was sitting here a few moments ago listening to this little boy on the front row just singing and singing and singing. I said, wow. The most important action that you can take as a teenager is to take Christ as your Savior and Lord as you walk through life. My brothers and sisters, there's nothing more important. Nothing. Nothing is more important than your closing with Jesus Christ and believing that He's the Son of God and Savior of sinners like you, and admitting the fact that you too deserve the judgment of God, but one came and took that judgment in your place if you believe in Him. That's why the cross is crucial. May God help us all, men, women, boys, and girls, to see what we sing from time to time. Oh, the power of the cross. And let us as a congregation not be ashamed of the gospel, because you are taking good news to people and those that you know, which is the only thing that ultimately matters in this world. Then closing with Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Is He your only help in life and in death? Is He more important to you than money? Is He more important to you than your work? Is He more important to you than your degrees? Is Jesus Christ this morning your all in all? Yes, we're going to sin, we're going to mess up. But being our all in all means He's quick to forgive, even when His people's hearts are broken. May God help us to see this morning just a portion of what Christ did for us and for our salvation. Let's pray. Our Father, there's so much more in these passages that one could talk about. There are more things that could be defined and broken down. But as we just kind of scan over it, oh Lord Jesus, we're looking at how compassionate and how concerned and how loving You were in pointing people to Yourself and to the life that You offer to them. And help us this morning to run to Him afresh. Our Father, often we're converted over and over again when we sit under the Word of God. That's great. But help us to leave this place this morning settled that we're not our own, but belonging to our Lord Jesus Christ in life and in death. Hear our prayer. make us thankful. And as we go through a season thinking more than we might normally do about the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, keep, O Lord, these things before us. And not only during this season, but through every day of our life. As we live our lives before our children, as we make decisions about the future. Help our young people here to see this. Yes, it's wonderful to have things. Yes, it's fun to go to school. Yes, it's fun to play sports. Yes, it's fun to have friends and to go to parties. But help us to see something far, far greater in the redemption that is ours in Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear our prayer. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.